Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, two in the books. One final hour to go. 60 minutes on the clock as we roll you up until 4 o'clock. And then we've got all kinds of blitz for you with Fred, AJ, and Aaron as they take you all the way until 7 o'clock, getting into all things not related to AJ's departure and who the next host of the Blitz will be, because they put that to bed yesterday. Good for them. But lots of conversation to have there. Conversation here. Astros starting a road trip tonight in Oakland against the A's. They are a half game behind the A's for first place in the division. They are red hot. Sean Manaea takes the mound for the A's. He got lit up by the Red Sox in Fenway the last time he pitched. He's going to be challenged by Christian Javier, who has been the most consistent pitcher for the Astros most of the season. So that's a good sign if you're an Astros fan. And more so than that, the better sign is the Astros lineup 1-6, as we've talked about this week, is just on fire. And their average shows it, and everything that they're doing.
Your boy Kyle Tucker is going to hit how many home runs this game?
First of all, my boy who?
Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, that's not my boy. Let's hope Kyle Tucker remains hot so he can get that average to respectability.
He gets two hits.
You want to bet again?
I said if he gets two hits, it would help the Astros. I don't want to bet again.
I thought you said he gets two hits. I was like, well, you sound pretty confident. You want to lay that down?
You don't think he gets two hits?
I don't. He's not at home anymore either. No.
All right. Look, here's the bet.
What's the bet?
If he gets two hits, you have to give me a new one of those deals of that little Amazon, that little Chromecast thing that I'm supposed to get you. But if he doesn't get two hits, I'll get that for you.
You've been promising me that for how long?
Okay, I'll get you two instead of one.
How much are they? $30?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Deal?
Deal.
You don't think Kyle Tucker gets two hits?
I don't.
No confidence, bro. No faith.
But you do. So there you have the confidence that I lack. So therefore, that's why we have a bet.
By the way, this dude on the call.
You want your boy Miles Straw, double or nothing?
No.
On two hits?
That guy
he's
blows.
He's hot too now.
Nope. He's
I'll give you Straw, Maldonado, and Tucker for a total of four hits.
No.
No? Three players for four hits?
Well, that's actually not a bad deal.
Okay, so which bet do you want? Just Tucker, or do you want the three for one?
Let me ask the Twitter chat.
No, you can't go for
or
help.
Twitch, should I take this deal? Do you think Kyle Tucker gets two hits? I think he does. Now you're making me nervous. I don't want to take this bet anymore.
So now you're backing out?
Yeah, like a chicken.
Wow. Okay. Well, I gave you a chance.
I forgot the Charlie Palillo word of the day. But aren't there other words you can just use that are interchangeable that you don't like? This guy on the call, I forgot if it was TNT, and Steph Curry was going off and he had an unbelievable game. Mm-hmm. And he was like, the temerity of Steph Curry. I'm like, can't you just say confidence?
Yeah.
Just say confidence. Do you have to say temerity?
Here's another thing. Did you know, like, there are certain signature plays or actions from NBA games. Michael's celebration after the Cleveland game, the way he jumped up and down, and others. Did you know that when Steph Curry was celebrating the other night, his 46-point, and he pulled his jersey up to show his bare chest,
yeah,
that he was imitating Baron Davis? I had no clue.
I had no clue until they showed the replay of Baron Davis doing it. Yeah. But apparently Baron Davis did it on a dunk.
It had to be the big one that he did.
It was a massive dunk.
Was it the Denver series or when Golden State upset either Denver or Seattle? Yeah, I think.
Yeah, and then Steph even alluded to it. It was like, it wasn't no dunk, but I wanted to channel my inner Baron Davis in me, which I thought was kind of random. And then his son gets in on it.
Yeah, his son does it too. I was like, I mean, who remembered that and went, oh, that's Baron Davis? No clue.
I don't think anybody. If you don't remember it, then Maybe Charlie might remember something like that.
He might.
He has those weird, like...
Baron Davis used to hit on my wife at UCLA.
No way.
Yeah. She told me that. I was like, oh, that's something I could have done without, but okay.
Well, now next time you see him, you know what to do, right?
Nick, you better bet that. Someone's telling you. You cowered it out. You chickened out. So there's no bet now.
When you see Baron Davis, you better drop that fool.
No
questions asked. Don't even be mature about it.
I'm not pulling a John Clay Wolf because at the end of the day, I won the deal. I married her. I'm fine.
Yeah, with John Clay Wolf, poor guy, he took an L.
Your guy there, man.
Took an L on that. That one-legged guy apparently has good game. Because...
I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, how charismatic do you have to be to get laid if you only have one leg? I mean, you got to be one charismatic dude.
Well, you better have a good stash of drugs. Because it sounded like that had something to do with it. I'm just saying, based on the story...
It did.
It sounds like that factored in. But also the fact that he openly said he kicked his ass. I mean, that's, again, something that could get you arrested these days.
What were the chances of him losing that fight, though?
Like, I don't even know what he looks like. I mean, people have told me I need to Google him and look at him
either.
And do all this stuff. I hear his voice all the time. I can identify his voice before I could ever identify him in a lineup. That's like you telling me the chick from Coyote Ugly. You could have given me multiple choices for days, and I never would have gotten whatever you just said her name was, Peekaboo Pilar or something. Whatever you just said. I was like, yep, I was right. She was never in another film.
Parabo. Parabo.
Parabo?
No, it's Parabo.
You've looked at the enunciation?
Mm-hmm.
And what's her first name, Peekaboo?
Piper.
Piper Parabo. Yeah. No, she didn't win any Academy Awards, Oscars, Emmys, and I've never heard of her.
She should have won something for that movie.
What was your girl that sang the theme song, though?
Piper Parabo.
Parabo, my bad. I messed
that up. That's what I said.
No, you said Parabo.
No, okay.
Whatever.
What's the chick that fell off the planet that was kind of country and then kind of pop? She sang the something Midnight from Coyote Ugly?
I don't know.
Oh, man. She didn't go off the deep end as much as some of the other ones, but...
Leanne Rimes.
Leanne Rimes, yep.
Can't Fight the Moonlight?
Can't Fight the Moonlight.
All right.
Yep, that was from Coyote Ugly.
Were you a fan of that song?
They used to know what they did. They did a club version, and they did remixes of it. Some of them were all right.
They had a club?
Yeah, they had kind of an upbeat version of it.
Okay.
You can,
clearly you like the song, and you don't want to admit it. And it's all good.
No, because you're the country guy. I'm not a country guy, but at the same time, it was catchy.
Well, you clearly remember this song. Is this it? Sounds like a pop song, not a country song.
Well, it sounds like NSYNC right there. But
oh, I know this song.
Yes, of course you do.
Who doesn't know this song? Now this is what I'm going to be singing all the way
killing
to
it
Missouri
to start
City.
The third hour got me laughing out loud at work. Good, that's what we're supposed to do. By the way, just kind of tying it all together, but you know the best Coyote Ugly bar was in Vegas.
I think I've been to the Coyote.
Yeah.
But it's...
The talent that worked there that danced on the bar, better than the movie.
I'm trying to remember which casino that I went to. Was it New York, New York?
Yeah, I think that's where it was.
Or was it Cosmo?
No, I think it was at the New York, New York. I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, this should be on my playlist, Cyclops.
Instead of Peekaboo Parabo or whatever you're talking about.
I'll never remember how to pronounce her name now.
See, well, you can take your Peekaboo streets, and I'll tell you right now that the unsung hero of that movie was the bar manager.
Nah, see, I disagree. I think her boss was not... She was hot, but she wasn't as hot as Piper.
She was kind of the cougar vixen.
She was.
Oh, she had a fastball. She still had a fastball.
There's no way she's hotter than her now.
Probably right. She probably has more wrinkles and prunes than your balls.
And I'm the a-hole talking about C-section scars.
I needed something to compare
a-hole.
To wrinkle-wise.
Wow.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Wow.
I just threw it out there. I'm nothing personal.
How do you know what my balls look like, bro?
I can only assume that most males of a certain age aren't exactly
smooth and shiny. I'm still young and popping. I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you using, Lancome on your grapes?
But somebody on Twitch said, look, you only can get girls with C-section scars, and I don't appreciate that comment. And there's nothing wrong with C-section scars, so you should be ashamed of yourself.
You using some kind of, like, skin product so you don't get wrinkles on yours? Because I think the rest of the male world's genitalia are basically...
I mean, those are some specific ass details.
Bordering on the ring. No, they're not.
Those are some specific ass details that you're giving.
You watch enough porn. Tell me the guys that you're bringing up that don't have wrinkly balls.
What do you mean I watch enough porn?
I'm just saying. I mean, if you think this is some oddity that I would know that you have wrinkly grapes, no. It's a pretty common thing, Nick.
Man, let's move on from the wrinkly discussion, please.
Todd the show says, everything's PG, and then the lady walks up to my window in the car line at school, and you guys say something about a bag of drugs. God dang you guys. Well, that's what we do. That's what we do in the third hour for sure.
We were doing it the whole time, really. It's not like we were...
True. It's true.
I mean...
Yeah, I mean... Just, okay.
Yeah, and good question by Dick Willie. Why would Nick focus on balls and porn, blankers? He's asking you that question, and it's a legitimate question.
Let me tell you something, Dick Willie. obviously, we know what you're focused on based on your Twitch name. Look, here's the thing. When watching an art form like that, unless you're watching girl on girl, I'm pretty sure you're going to see all the anatomy, unless you're watching it on Cinemax.
Joel's watching that granny porn.
No, Joel's not. But I'm just telling you, the manager in Coyote Ugly was the star of the show.
And that's not true, Crystal. Guys don't get Botox down there to get rid of the wrinkles.
That's a chick thing. That's a chick thing.
It's a Holly thing.
I don't want to even know about that. I just know it's a chick thing to do the whole tune-up, tighten-up. Guys don't worry about that.
I mean, Barry might do the Botox thing. He said
you're probably right.
He's one guy that's kind of admitted he's vain enough to do something like that.
See, OG always, he's good on Twitch, and then he likes to stir it up. And I always refrain from going back at him. But again, don't go there, because it's just not worth it, because I could destroy you. I just choose not to. So we got that going for us. Was a night. All right. So Christian,
how did we get on granny porn? Now we're talking about this is
all because of your Coyote Ugly. I think
she was hot. I think most people would agree that she was hot at least at that time.
Or the Piper manager.
They're both hot. They were both hot.
I'm never gonna. It's gone. That boat has sailed.
I'm just gonna say Piper. I'm never gonna call her by her last name ever again.
Let's go P squared. You're good.
Yeah.
P squared was hot in Coyote Ugly.
Agreed.
Okay. Well, I don't agree. I'm just telling you what you can say. I think that the manager was hotter. You know that engineers at Columbia University, Nick, have developed a microchip that can be injected into humans to monitor medical conditions. Would you? Don't answer. Talk about that and more coming up next. It's Press Box ESPN.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
That's a damn jam right there. The Lil' Kim version of that. That bass line right there. And I'm trying to think of who did the original.
Jay-Z, Foxy Brown featuring yes. Jay-Z. I think the song's called I'll Be.
Yeah, but the original, I don't know if it was SOS Band, I'll Be Good to You.
Maybe. Could be.
But I could pull a Josh Innes right now. Let that go, Nick. That's a good one right there. Let that one go. That's a jam.
That song slaps.
Play that. And then he'll try and sing it with you.
And then he'll start talking over the intro, like, as the song is playing.
Yeah.
And then I would play the intro. Hey, this is the Josh Innes. And he wouldn't even care. He would just start singing the song.
He ain't singing this one. He might be singing the ballads.
I bet you he could be.
He'd be singing the ballads, but he ain't singing this one. I'm sure he's not dropping Poonana on the Jay-Z tilt. That's a great cut, by the way. I appreciate you playing that.
And this is the original, I believe. No, this is just to be good. This is SOS Band, but not the original.
Okay, so I don't.
But it
don't,
sounds similar. It, I like
kind
this.
Of. Yeah, kind of.
But yeah.
Okay, so where are we? We're talking about we were talking about the sports news of the day. We got you pretty much covered up there. The Pacers, by the way, without Caris LeVert, he's entering health and safety protocols.
But you had a tease. You teased the
Astros and the A's. What was my tease, Nicholas?
You teased.
Right. So I found this story, and I think I'd sign up for this. Engineers at Columbia University have developed the world's smallest implantable, don't think the wrong thing, Nick, implantable microchip that can monitor your medical conditions. Like, if this could tell you, like, if you were in danger of having a stroke or a heart attack, or kind of like your Apple Watch does, only to a more specific degree. If you got chipped, and this thing is really small, yeah. But I'm sure you've heard that a lot. But the thing is, this, if you could do this and what it could mean medically for so many people, I'd be all for it.
I would be too. There's so many other things that like technology has allowed to like be. Like inserted in like certain layers of your skin, right? Like mm-hmm. What are those chips that women get so they don't get pregnant? There's also ones.
Pringles?
Are you being funny?
No, ruffles? Because then they get fat and then no one wants to. Oh, never mind.
No, see, now you're the one being mean.
No, I'm just throwing you're it the out one. There. I thought that's the chips. You're talking about chips.
But yeah, I mean, I would be open to it. Obviously, there'd always be the conspiracy theorists out there that think, nah, you're going to get all this information about me, like Facebook. They got all my information.
Or the family member that says, she had the chip and she died anyway. I'm suing. Because that's coming too.
Then that's the problem. You can sue for anything.
Sure. But you know damn well that there are going to be all kinds of elderly people and otherwise signing up for this bad boy if it really becomes a big thing. And then the minute that someone dies anyway, they're going to be like, I'm suing.
I can see that. But the good thing is if this thing is actually functional and it actually does what it says it does,
yes,
then it's good for people like me who hate doctors and don't necessarily go to their yearly checkup and is bad about that. You know what I mean? Like, that's something really good. The other thing that I saw and I was talking to my friend about that's, I guess, kind of similar but without technology is people these days just do lab tests. So there's like literally a center and then you do a blood test, you give them the you can literally drop it off or go over that. You don't necessarily see a doctor anymore. You just tell them what to check for, and then you just pay for that particular test. And then they come back and kind of give you that information, I kind of want to try that.
I got a story I could tell you on that. I'm not sure I should share it with you and the listeners.
Is it bad?
No, it's actually good, but of course I'll probably catch heat for it. But
don't do it.
Before we get to that, though, this chip thing, it wasn't like Bill Gates or some tech giant that created it or Elon Musk. It was just people at Columbia University, and the chip will do an array of things. In addition to monitoring people's medical conditions, it'll be able to support and enhance physiological functions, treat diseases, which will overall improve the patient's quality of life. I mean, including what it can monitor, body temperature, blood pressure, glucose, respiration for both diagnostic and therapeutic procedures. The total volume of the chip is less than 0.1 millimeters, around the same size as a dust mite.
It's
only visible through a microscope. And if it's that small, it's got to be pretty painless to have it inserted. And if it could do all those things, why wouldn't you sign up for that?
Yeah, because the technology exists where they can, chances are that you can probably get that. My number one fear would be infection or getting sick from it, or my arm or my leg or wherever they inject it in gets all bruised up. If that's not the case, if it's not functional, as meaning it's not monitoring your health the way it's supposed to be, then it's not really a lose-lose situation. You know what I mean? So even if it doesn't work, it probably won't cause any infection. It probably could live under your skin without, or not live, but exist under your skin without causing any problems.
So if you developed it the right way, right, and this is very small, but to get the data from it, and we've seen these things now, one for sleep apnea, the other one for, I think, diabetes, where you just take this little thing out of your pocket or your purse and you touch it to a certain place on your, I think for diabetes, it's on the back of your arm.
Okay.
I think for sleep apnea, it's on your chest, and it gives you a complete computer readout and tells you how your body's functioning, what your levels are at, things like that. If that's the case with this chip, and you just, instead of a checkup, at a certain point, you just use the device and it gives you a complete readout and says your O2 and oxygen levels, your heart's pumping at this, your blood pressure's that, and it saves you from having to go to the doctor all the time, but it can also save you if you know that a medical condition could be approaching because your blood pressure levels or something's going on. Why? I mean, I just sounds like works, that's what technology
is. It sounds
about.
Really proactive if it works.
For sure.
Like, I would like to know that I could potentially have a clogged artery or something wrong with my lungs or maybe something wrong with my kidney. Maybe it could sense a kidney stone or something like that. I wouldn't mind knowing that and then being treated before all the pain starts. And it doesn't necessarily eliminate the doctor, but it does. If that does work, it minimizes the doctor. You know what I mean? Which
so,
some people would absolutely be okay for.
So I got to tell you, because technology, if this is the kind of things that we're using technology for, I think it's just a slam dunk. I think it's fantastic. And I think that where medical advances have also gotten to a certain level, whether people realize it or not, is Cologuard, like colonoscopies. So you do the colonoscopy, and then you don't have to go for 10 years. But periodically, if you just want to make sure, just like this chip would do, that you're doing the right things, and I don't know if you've seen this or not, there's been commercials out there and everything, but Cologuard is something that doctors have said is almost as accurate as doing a colonoscopy, and it's less invasive.
Really?
Yeah. Now, here's the kicker, Nick, because it's going to take a little extra on your part, all right? So you don't have to be put under and have them go face down, ass up on you. But you get sent a kit and you got to go into the restroom and you get essentially the size of like a Tupperware soup bowl with a cover. And you get a device that fits on top of your toilet. And then this is the tricky part.
Oh, no.
You got to drop a deuce. And you got to have target practice. You got to drop a deuce inside the soup bowl. And on top of it, there's also instructions that say you can't put in too much. They only want this amount. So you better have the brakes padded enough that when you get a little in, you can make sure the rest goes out in the bowl of the toilet.
Whoa.
Yeah. But what you do is then if you do it correctly, when you're done, and again, I'm thinking you need one of those breathe right strips, but it's plogging everything up. Because now once it's in the bowl, you take this chemical they give you, you pour it inside, you put the top on, it's like a lock seal.
You've done this before.
I did.
Oh,
this is what I'm telling you. So because of the fact that with all this stuff where I'm monitoring my health and doing the vegan and doing all these things, I was like, let's make sure everything is on par after the colonoscopy and everything else. So I said to Lisa, look, my doctors, who are the Rockets and Astros doctors, they know their stuff. They're telling me
to do
just
this.
Do this.
Well,
I waited till no
one
was else
to
was home.
Did you go to letsgetcheck.com?
No, I got they send you the package.
Right. Well, see,
and you do this.
Right.
And then the other thing is you got to drop it off at a UPS station. And I wonder how many UPS workers see the logo on the side of the box and go, oh, you just duked in a bowl.
I don't know if they think that, but here's a website. It's called letsgetcheck.com. Colon cancer screening test. It's $69 in stock, free shipping, Joel, if you want it. At-home colon cancer screening test to detect blood in the stool, which may indicate presence of cancerous or precancerous growths in the colon.
So evidently, like I said, the doctors say it's pretty damn accurate. And if you just want to make sure you're on the up and up from a health perspective in between the 10-year colonoscopies and you don't like the invasive procedure, this is the way to do it. This is the thing that used to gross me out when Bill Romanowski, remember him, the linebacker for the Raiders and the Broncos?
Yeah.
He'd do this monthly.
He would
FedEx his urine and stool samples monthly when he was taking all that crap.
But wouldn't it be better just to get the colonoscopy? But the fact that it's less invasive, people want to do it this way. You don't have to see a doctor.
I think this is what this is.
You don't have to fast.
Yes. This is the marketing. This is the pull, the attraction for using this because you don't have to go through all of that every time you want to check. I'm just telling you that going through the process. And someone just said, screw that. I work for a delivery company. We pick those things up all the time, and it's disgusting because they know what's in the box.
I was hoping they wouldn't know because I feel like I wouldn't want to know that information. Or maybe you do. That way you can pick up the package more carefully, for lack of a better explanation. I'm never going to do this, probably.
I'm missing. There's an extra step involved, too.
Oh, no.
So once you hit it in the bowl in the right spot, right, before you seal it up, there's another container, and it's like a Q-tip, only it's got like a little scrub brush on the end of it. And you have to scrape and put that in its own separate little container next to the other one and set it in. But you know what? You get accurate results. So I'm just saying. Okay. That's something that's out there. Someone said my sister's rheumatologist said...
Okay, we don't need to know about your sister.
No, this is a different one. This is a text, so I'm getting you off the subject. My sister's rheumatologist says they're developing an app that can predict when she's having an arthritis flare-up, and she'll know it's coming and be able to treat it.
Oh, that's cool.
Very cool.
Because there's no cure for arthritis. You have to treat it.
Yeah.
Well, that was an interesting conversation. I did not expect you to bring up a topic of discussion in regards to...
You bitched about hearing about my wife too much.
Colonoscopy.
So why don't you hear about crapping in a bowl? How about that?
Okay.
Take that to the bank.
I'm a pass on that for a while.
Well, you're not there yet.
Well, how old are you supposed to be?
Oh, so that's the other kicker.
How old are you supposed
to be? My doctor said that they've changed it now. It used to be 50, now it's 45.
Okay.
Anytime once you hit 45, you need to be doing one or the other pretty frequently.
Okay.
Just to be safe.
All right.
So, you got that to look forward to.
I feel a little traumatized and distraught right now, but it's all good.
Okay. Well, I think you'll get over it. I mean, if you had the option between one or the other, Nick, you taking the Cologuard and crapping in a bowl?
I'd probably do the Cologuard. I'm not even going to lie.
There you have it.
Just because I hate doctors so much.
Robert and Tomball said that'd be a good segue to Apollo Men's Health. Nope, I don't think they have to do all that. So, there you have that. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We've got a half hour to go in the program, and we can still get to lots of topics between now and 4 o'clock. So bring something to the table, and we'll get it out there for you. Otherwise, we've got plenty more to get to. It's the Press Box on ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, we've opened up dialogue that I can only just suggest that if you want to get involved, go to Twitch. Because that's what our Twitchers do. They take it to the next level. Sometimes it's good, sometimes not so much. But we've had some fun today. And so that's always a good thing because it's only
fun.
Tuesday. Yeah, it's always fun. Today was better than other days because we got into a little non-sportsy. I saw this because I had brought this up the other day, Nick. It says the Dolphins still may be interested in trading for Deshaun Watson before the season starts.
They should be.
And that's fine, but the offer better still be where it was at least close to before Deshaun got into the massage envy.
I'm with you. I don't see why, if the sanctions come down from the NFL and a settlement has eventually been agreed upon, that his value does not go up. I've said this 1,000 times. Why isn't it that a NFL punishment plus a settlement agreed upon between the two parties not equal increased value for Deshaun Watson? By this point, you've got the settlement out of the way, and then whatever number of games the NFL decides to go down on you with, which could be 6 months, six games or eight games, maybe even a whole year, in which you don't have to pay for Deshaun Watson. I don't see why that it should go down. Now, does Miami, I forgot after everything, do they still have the assets that they had when they were initially discussing
Texans? So they still have two first rounders next year, I believe, but we don't know where they're going to be because it's based on record. And since the draft's already passed, now it's a new draft cycle.
Right.
So you have to wait to see where the teams finish before you know where the picks are going to be. And just like the Aaron Rodgers discussions, it's tougher to make a trade because on the positive side, your cap hit goes way down after June 1st. On the negative side, whoever you're trading with, depending on where he goes, and if it's a player like a Watson or a Rodgers that makes wherever he goes better, the chances of those picks being higher goes way down.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make as much sense.
It doesn't make as much sense. I would not settle for lower value. I would not settle. I would play hardball with every situation, meaning any potential team inquiring about potentially acquiring Deshaun Watson in a trade and playing hardball with Deshaun Watson himself. And look, we don't even know if Deshaun Watson is like already set in stone. Like he's like, I'm done. I'm never going to play at NRG ever again, even if, you know, they don't trade me. I wouldn't be surprised if he hasn't had everything removed from that stadium and that's in terms of his belongings And he's back at home chilling, waiting for all this to plan out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To play out. So
first of all, you're going to play an NRG at some point if you go to a different team. Because right. every 4 years, the schedule's going to say right. you're going to play the Texans. And
but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But at the same time, you started all this mess before the massages by trying to be a guy under contract that can demand a trade.
Right.
And then it spread like wildfire. And then you had Russell Wilson and you had Aaron Rodgers, if you believe. You have Aaron Rodgers. You have all these different things. Mike Greenberg believes, because for 843 days in a row, he's led the show with it. And he did it again today. Now you have ex-Packers GM Ron Wolf saying that quarterbacks today in the game think that they should do more than quarterback. They should have a say-so in the head coach. See if it sounds familiar as to who he's talking about. They should have a say-so in the head coach. They should have a say-so in the general manager. They should have a say-so in the personnel. And he said that they've all become divas. I don't disagree.
I don't know if they should have a say-so even after they've proven themselves, because you always immediately set a bad precedent once you do it just once. You know, we can bring up several stars and several star quarterbacks for an example. The problem is no one team is ever going to not set that precedent. I think they eventually give in to that quarterback in the event he's established himself to do so. But these new guys coming in, I don't see how they earn the leverage to even make a decision like that and actually have the power to control the fate of a head coach. Well, that is crazy to me.
But like I told you all along, from a Texans perspective, did they give in? I don't know. But you know how it could have been a lot easier? You don't have to go with the decision that the quarterback is asking you to go with. And obviously Green Bay didn't and the Texans didn't either. But you at least listen, right? Listen. And if they want to be involved in the conversation when you bring said coach in or have them on a Zoom chat with the pandemic, it was easier. Or however you're going to talk to whoever they want you to talk to, let them be a part of the process. That doesn't mean you have to pick who they want.
Right.
But you've done enough to appease them because you allowed them to play along.
Yeah, but you also, and we always talk about that, and I've been on record saying that exact same thing multiple times. Here's another thing that I just thought of, though. How do you know that when they go and they let him in on the discussion, that he's not passionately arguing for one particular player or one particular coach or one particular quarterback's coach or whatever the case may be, to the point where he gives the vibe that if you don't pick that guy, I'm going to be upset? Because in any case, even if you let him in on that discussion, what you've done is you let them know what he wants. Well, you've given them the opportunity to let you know what you want, and maybe you don't want to know what he wants. Maybe you don't want to know, because if you do and you don't agree with what he wants, now you're dealing with a potentially upset quarterback. And that's why I feel like some of these general managers and owners are not meeting with some of these players, even when it's not quarterbacks or not, because they don't want to even give the player an opportunity about what they want, because they don't want to go against what they want, because inevitably they're going to be upset. Now, you can't sit there and act like if you're a star quarterback and you go in that room and you say, you know what, I want this as my head coach. And then the owner says, you know what, thank you so much for the advice. You guys leave the room. And then after you've taken his advice, you went and hired someone else. Don't act like you're not going to be upset a little bit. You're going
to
be upset.
But here's the thing, Nick. It's about communication. So you say, look, I'm open to hearing, you know, we love you. So we're interested in hearing what you have to say before we make a decision. Then you include them in the process. At the end of the day, whether you feel it necessary to explain to him why you decided, who you decided, and if it was his choice or not is another thing. It probably is in your best interest to finish the process and go, look, we loved your guy. We just loved this guy a little bit more.
Circle back, you mean.
Right.
Well, I just don't. Yeah. And look, and maybe that helps. Maybe that alleviates the situation. I would imagine a guy like Aaron Rodgers, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't bode well with him.
Well, because they didn't. They didn't listen to him. They didn't include him. That's who Ron Wolf was talking about. But it sounds just like the Deshaun Watson situation or the Russell Wilson situation. And the other thing that I have a real issue with is in all three quarterbacks in this case, their situations, we'd like to just hear from you directly.
Yeah.
Stop relaying messages through social media, using rap lyrics, your agent and your boys to get your word out, and just be a man about it.
You're
if
not
you're man
hear
about
now.
It to have an opinion, then be man about it to actually talk to someone. So Adam Schefter can't start a fake rumor that goes haywire. So Mike Greenberg can't say, hey, by the way, the Packers signed another scrub quarterback, and it means bad things if you're a Packer fan. No, it doesn't. It means they needed quarterback for minicamp.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
That was a viable request when he was making the request for the trade and there was no sexual allegations. Now at least he has the excuse of, well, you know, I'm in court. Let's I'm not going to speak until this process plays out. He at least has that excuse. But to your credit, absolutely. That's a very viable and reasonable ask when he was making the request to trade before the contract that he signed didn't even kick in. Then he's like, you know what? At least talk out loud and we want to hear from you, buddy. I don't want to hear from your agent or through your Twitter or through Future Lyrics. I don't want to hear that. But now that all these sexual allegations has come out and it seems like they're not even close to an agreement in terms of a settlement, he has that excuse of saying,
but Nick,
I don't have to say anything until the legal system plays out.
Don't you think that if the Texans had it to do all over again and they played their cards a little differently, whether they still hired Nick Caserio and David Culley or they hired Eric Bieniemy or some of the guys he wanted, if they had it to do all over again, whether it was Deshaun that asked first or they just thought, hey, in the interest of the franchise and the franchise quarterback, let's check in with Deshaun as we let him know what the process is going to look like. Like, we're hiring the coach first or we're hiring the GM first. These are guys we've looked at. What do you think of these guys? From an offensive perspective, who do you like? What are you looking for? What guys do you want us to at least talk to? Then you've started on a positive note. You might not have to go as far as we talked about then. You're right. And then maybe we don't have to hear from them. Because you know what? Maybe Deshaun Watson never asked for a trade. If they just went and did those small couple of things going into this, maybe he comes out of it and says, I don't want out.
Yeah. Or maybe he would be too embarrassed to even say that. You know what I mean? Maybe it would make him look bad or he would feel bad. Because at least they looped him in on the situation and there was a discussion, like you said. There was a line of communication and all that. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Deshaun Watson. I think ultimately, since we mentioned those two quarterbacks, Aaron remains a Green Bay Packer. Deshaun Watson doesn't remain a Houston Texan.
So, and the other thing that I touched on the other day that I just wanted to follow up on real quick, when we talked about the schedule came out and the Packers are tied for the lead for national TV games with 5. And I said they wouldn't do that if they thought Aaron Rodgers was gone. The schedule maker for the NFL talked to 10 different people about Rodgers and the Packers before they finalized the 2021 schedule in the national TV games. If you're me, I feel better. If that's the case.
Do you think that's a great topic point? Do you think that the NFL scheduler, when they reached out to the Green Bay Packers, that was kind of a nervous call for the Packers? Because they have to ensure that scheduler.
They still want to be on national TV no matter who's the quarterback. And obviously, they don't want to be embarrassed.
But the way you do that is you persuade that scheduler that Aaron Rodgers is still going to be on the team.
But I think that aside from talking to the Packers, they probably talked to his agent. They talked to people in the know a little bit around the league. If they're talking to 10 people, that's a pretty good cross section to get an idea. Should we or shouldn't we put them on this many times?
No, I'm in agreement with you. I feel like if that was really the case, because I didn't know about that report until you just brought it up right now.
Yeah.
So whether they're lying or not, the Packers are on the phone trying to convince them that the Aaron Rodgers is going to be in a Green Bay Packers uniform. But the fact that the NFL scheduler, regardless of what they said in between each other, because we really don't know. Mm-hmm. To me, you're right. If I'm a Packers fan, I think that would be a positive sign.
I would feel better about that.
Here's another thing. Just to wrap up the segment, apparently Derek Lewis, JD tagged me on this tweet, but someone tried to break into Derek Lewis's car.
Uh-oh.
So we'll talk about that.
I hope he was around because that could have been a pay-per-view. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We'll wrap it up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Press Box. It's ESPN.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back to wrap things up right here on the Press Box. A great and fine afternoon on a Tuesday. We had a lot of fun today. Covered a lot of subjects, sports and otherwise, but a lot of otherwise, and had fun doing it. So you guys were participatory. We love that. And speaking of participatory, Art is on the phone wanting to talk about Deshaun Watson before we wrap things up. Art, welcome to the program. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Just wanting to see what you guys thought on this. Is there any chance that Deshaun is now embarrassed and I guess changed his mind from the previous his previous standpoint, and now it's like doesn't want to go anywhere, just wants to stay here, do his job, and recover his image.
I would say this, Art. There's more than a chance, and he damn well should be embarrassed, because no matter what happens, the level of embarrassment based on how many of these women there were, how many massage therapists one man needs, the fact that his fetish was exposed, and so was he.
I think the level of embarrassment steers him away. He doesn't. I don't think that the fact that he's embarrassed makes him want to go back and play in a Texans uniform. I think the embarrassment steers him away.
I think he's giddy right now that they want him to stay out of the media and not comment and stay away, because he's embarrassed as hell that all this got out about what his fetish is and what he likes to do.
Yeah.
Does it change his opinion of the Texans? Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, the embarrassment is there regardless, so why would you go back to – you're going to be made fun – I mean, everybody in the country that follows the NFL, you know, probably knows about this, so – I wouldn't go back to that same team.
I would. They're going to suck. I mean, he said all along that the main thing for him was he doesn't want to see his prime years of his career get wasted away on bad teams. Well, at least for a couple more years, they're going to be a bad team.
Yeah. I mean, so, they sucked with him on it.
That's a good point, too. They only got four wins with him.
They sucked with him on it.
Good point.
He was running the team, and the team sucked. If you win four games in a regular season, you suck as an NFL team. You are not a good NFL.
Yeah,
you're a bad NFL team, a terrible NFL team. This weekend, I want to try this. Have you seen this Nuro thing where basically it's a Domino's pizza, Pilots, driverless delivery?
That little white, like, remote, or like, it's almost like a
it's like a mini car that's
like a
controlled.
Drone, but it's a car.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
But apparently you can only get it, you can only use three providers or three companies. It's Kroger's, Domino's, and I think one other company.
What if you see one of those things on the road?
That's my thing. Like, is it automated or is it control? Is it automated like Elon Musk style?
Where I think it's got to be.
Where you put in the address and the thing just drives to you, or is it a situation where there's someone like remote controlling it?
Let me take it a step further, Nick. Is it on the road or is it on the sidewalk? Is it taking?
It
a
looks
route?
Like it's on the road because I've seen the video. It looks like it's on the road. It's on the road. It's big enough to be a car. It's got brake lights.
If
it's got a license plate.
And you see one of these bad boys in the neighborhood, aren't you following because you know you could possibly get the goods?
But you, it's obviously locked in. Until
how do you get it?
Apparently, there's like the door opens and you pull out your pizza that way.
But I'm saying, say it's sitting outside your house and you haven't come out the door yet. Can't someone else walking by go flip the, unless there's like a code they give you? Or there has to be some security feature that you're the only one that can get in. Kind of like, remember how you were not happy with the stickers on the pizza boxes?
Yeah, which I think is so stupid.
But it's a security level. It's a level of security to know that people haven't been fondling your pizza. On those same lines, if this thing pulls up, there has to be a security feature so that you can be you're the only one that can get your pizza.
I would imagine, because it's all done by app. I bet you there was something in the app that... Here goes. Grab your order. We'll text you an access code to retrieve your delivery at your curb. Your order will be secured separately from other items the vehicle is carrying. So, in other words, it could be delivering five pizzas at one time. You know, we got one in Mo City, one in Sugar Land, one in Richmond. You know,
I would bet there's a tracking device on it too, because you know other smartasses are going to try and steal these things.
I mean, they have it in a 1-2-3 thing. Order from one of our partners, place a delivery order with one of our partners, then select self-driving vehicle. We'll keep you updated. Once Nuro's vehicle picks up your order and it's on its way, it'll text you a link to easily keep track of its progress. And then number three, grab your order. We'll text you an access code to retrieve your delivery at your curb. Your order will be securely separated from other items in the vehicle.
You know where else they were using these things, right? At your alma mater.
Yeah, but was it delivering things?
At U of H was delivering things. And I want to say, I don't know if it was, I think it was like Uber Eats or something like that where they were experimenting it with it too, and it was going to the dorms and it was going to like on-campus places to deliver.
It's pretty cool. So here's the Houston partners, Kroger, CVS, Pharmacy, and Domino's, which is cool because now you can get your medication without having to go anywhere. I just thought it was cool. When I saw the video, I was more enticed by it as opposed to just hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the video, it's pretty cool. The Domino's CEO has already kind of been like promoting it and doing like interviews. But it basically looks like a little van buggy and it looks like it's street legal, and it just drives around and delivers things.
I mean, the thing is,
think about it. It's probably electric, so it doesn't waste gas, and then it eliminates the driver.
I mean, I'm all for it. As long as the, you know, and I don't think it's jobs. Now, I will say this too. If it, there has to be a something somewhere internally on this thing, there has to be like a warmer.
I would imagine.
To keep the pizza warm.
I would imagine.
But in traffic, that would be a little, I'd be a little leery, just like the Tesla story we were talking about. I'd be a little leery of these things on the road.
Yeah, well, you're not really trustworthy of the Tesla like I am. I'm very pro Tesla. If Elon Musk is listening, throw a Tesla at me.
Yeah, you are.
Throw a Tesla at me.
And Dick, I've seen the Domino's commercials. I'm trying to understand the security aspects, the safety aspects. What if the damn thing is heading to an intersection and the light's amber? Is it running it or is it breaking? Because now I got a problem.
You don't trust technology.
I don't. That Tesla story.
You hate technology.
That damn car burnt for 4 hours.
That ain't cool. That was not cool. I can't believe it.
You got to believe that the battery is similar in the Domino's vehicle?
I would hope not. Maybe it doesn't have to travel as fast because it's zoned to a certain area. And so it doesn't require the same type of battery. I don't know. Trust technology. Embrace technology, Joel.
There's some that I do and some that I don't. AR Platinum says, tell Ralph to quit fondling my pizza.
hey, look, AR Platinum, it definitely had the stickers. So.
And it said Ralph or Rudolph or whatever.
Russell or whatever.
Whatever it said. And then someone else said, Watson should go to Pittsburgh, brings new meaning to the terrible towel. I like that one. That was good. That was clever.
That was clever.
I don't know, Nick. I mean, and by the way, a little bit of a heads up for you all in Houston. That is, HEB has waived curbside pickup and delivery fees if you spend $35 or more.
Good, because they can't. I feel like they're struggling to enforce the mask.
How great is that? Instead of an upcharge, it's like we were talking about with new brakes. As long as you don't have to go and blow an hour shopping in the store, and now you don't have to pay more to get it either delivered or curbside. Why the hell wouldn't you?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I don't really use curbside that much, Goldie, because it's 3 blocks away. I don't really have to drive that far.
Lucky you, because my wife lives for it. Target, HEB, Kroger, everything is curbside pickup. Macy's? Oh, my God. Or JCPenney's.
What are you
all
buying
those.
From Macy's? For? What are you getting, a Keurig? Well, like, curbside pickup?
Like if the girls have picture day at school and they need it, and she'll pick out a dress online and just do like curbside pickup.
How many picture days are there in 1 year?
Don't get me
started. How many picture days? Like, can't y'all just do it quarterly, maybe? Like, or once?
So here's the problem. And again, if you're offended by my family mentions, get over it. Here's the problem. There's Maddie and Taylor go to different schools. So you got each one has their own picture day. Then mom decides at certain points so that we can capture where we are as a family, photo shoots at like Penny's or whatever, where we do
and she
the
organizes
whole family
that,
together.
Right? I would
and
imagine.
She organizes and then starts going, the girls are going to be in red themed dresses. Like the last one we did was Christmas. So she goes, the girls are going to have red themed dresses. I'm going to wear green. Do you have anything that I go, you know what I got? I got gray. Because then it blends with everything, and I don't have to worry about red and green
and
looking
process.
Like Clark freaking Griswold.
It just sounds like a lot of work.
Picture turned out great, but I was very doubtful going in.
I feel like your picture day is monthly for you, I feel like.
No, not that often, but let me say that too frequent, but not that often.
We do. There's this one guy that did a speech. I forgot who it was. He's a college basketball analyst, and he went back to his school to talk to him. And he's like, look, man, don't let these old farts tell you about selfies, all right? Take as many selfies as you want, because when you get to be my age, you're going to regret not taking those selfies because you look old and ugly. So maybe that's what, you know.
It sounds like a Jay Billis.
That's who it was.
Jay Billis is awesome. Jay Billis quotes rap lyrics, and he's cool. Not like Deshaun.
I didn't know you were that big of a Jay Billis fan.
Jay Billis is awesome. I think he's fantastic.
I agree.
By the way,
he's a great
fun
analyst.
Fact, let me just tell you this. Inside scoop for you guys once again. When Murph, when the Rockets decided that Murph wasn't going to do the color analyst work anymore, Les Alexander had me contact Jay Billis, and we negotiated for a while back and forth. Jay Billis was almost the color analyst for the Houston Rockets.
No way.
Yeah. At the end, he turned it down because he liked doing college, and he didn't want to move to Houston.
It's a smart move.
Smart move, but
that would have been a big get.
I forgot that. That was a good story right there.
That is a good story. You've never told that story,
no,
I don't think.
I have not. And I had Steve Snapper Jones, my mentor, was also basically three-quarters of the way, he was close to being the Rockets analyst. Les shot it down.
Well, he's in a much better, he's on national TV, and he does work for national platforms. He's in a better spot.
Snap, well, my man Billis is, yes. And RIP to my man Steve Jones. Snapper passed away a couple years ago, but I'm not here without Snapper Jones. I love that guy. So we love you guys, too. Another great day on the press box. It's a fun show. We'll do it again tomorrow. You guys will be here, too. So have a great night, everybody. Stay tuned for The Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.